Our second reading, which was read so beautifully by Gail, is by the great 14th century Islamic poet from Persia, Hafiz. And it is just arresting, I think, in its beauty that it seems to capture in words. I can only imagine it's in its original language even more breathtaking. That it's this sort of mystical glimpse of everything in creation drenched and infused with the presence of the holy. Every sight, every sound, every moment, a moment where the holy is revealed to be with us. Every moment, divine revelation. Never a moment when God is not present. It happens every moment, but we feel and glimpse it so rarely, and it slips our grasp too often, or the truth of it slips our memory, and painfully our lives become so isolated. I cannot but think of the young man in Santa Barbara when I think of this isolation who only yesterday stabbed and shot his fellow students. And he left a trail of messages on social media, bitter irony, on social media, as a testament to how isolated and lonely he was. And it shattered into a toxic rage so twisted that it took the lives of others and his own. Could things ever have been different for him? Can they be different for us if we hear and embrace the words we hear today? I am with you always. Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight, God, you who are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. I think these are the most comforting words in all of Scripture. I am with you always. I am with you always. And they are found here as the final words of Jesus at the end of the gospel according to Matthew. And they could not have been more poignantly placed. It's the promise of a presence that remains even as the risen Christ departs. It's an anticipation of an absence. After years of ministering together, sharing, teaching, meals shared, miracles witnessed, confrontations and struggles, sharing life and even death, and yes, even the new life of resurrection, here before an earthly departure, before their own ministries begin as disciples that will be filled with triumphs and tragedy of their own. These words, this promise, I am with you always. We are accustomed, probably even over familiar, with the theological affirmation that God is love. We say it almost unconsciously. God is love. Today I want to take that one step further. God is not only love, God is withness. God is withness. The withness of God is the embodiment of that love. Because there is no deity with a detached love that loves from a safe distance here, it is in fact the God with us in the glory and the grime of human existence that makes love real. That radical withness of God we actually name incarnation. God with us should sound a little bit familiar. It is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, that familiar title for Jesus Christ, and it is so familiar it's easy to forget or may never have been told how rare it is in our scripture. Only two places in the Bible, Emmanuel. First, it's in the writings of the Jewish prophet Isaiah, and then in the first chapter of Matthew at the birth of Jesus, where the birth of Jesus is set as the fulfillment of that prophecy of God with us, Emmanuel. It's God's promise in the voice of the prophet, proclaimed by a visiting angel as Matthew starts the story of Jesus, and now with us, echoed as the promise on the lips of the risen Christ, the last words spoken to his followers, "I am with you always." It is an enormous comfort. And it carries an enormous challenge. Because these final verses of the gospel according to Matthew may be rather familiar to those of us raised in church traditions. Because before these final words that are such a comfort are the words that are commonly called the Great Commission, capital G, Great, capital C, Commission. Matthew's version of this final earthly appearance and the final words of Jesus include what has been long embraced as this call to mission and witness for the church universal. Go make disciples throughout the world. Go everywhere, incorporate, include, invite everyone you can into this body of followers. Nobody is off limits. That is radical inclusion from the very start. The Great Commission makes evangelical hearts thrill and makes other people very nervous, because we have not always seen it as an extension of love and grace. But as clear as it is, it doesn't make some things clear. Is that baptism supposed to be by immersion, pouring, or sprinkling? Doesn't seem to care one way or the other. Do we do it by cold calling and knocking on strangers' doors? Or is it through acts of service that are so irresistibly attractive that people must come to follow as well? You know, majoring in minors has always been the best way for the followers of Jesus to avoid the Great Commission. To avoid the one thing it is very clear about. Our job is not to just come and sit. Our job is to go and recruit and invite. We recruit. We do recruit. For those disciples and for us, the call of Christ may start with come and follow, but it is fulfilled by go and minister. As I've recently reflected on this passage, there is a new question that has arisen for me. Which came first, the witness or the withness? Which came first, the witness or the withness? The way it's set in this story, the commission is said first, and the promise, quote, to be with, is second. But since Matthew was written at least 40 years after the events that it describes, I wonder which way those disciples actually experienced that. Was it because they heard and believed this promise that God was with them, that they had the confidence to go out and minister and witness? Or was it when they began to go out and witness and tell the good news, did they discover that somehow God was still with them, even when the risen Christ had disappeared? Which came first? It's probably another chicken or the egg kind of thing, I suppose. Haven't you experienced it both ways? That you step out because you feel stronger knowing that you are not alone. Someone has your back. Someone is right alongside you. You feel stronger, strong enough to do it. Or perhaps there's a time when you stepped out and then you discovered, oh, I am not alone. Someone's right here with me. I believe I have before told the story of this cross. If you've been in my office, you know that there are a lot of crosses there. It is a danger of the profession. But this one carries a particular meaning that I've shared with some, if not many of you. This was my father's cross. And one of the things that my parents did in their life together, before my father's death, they were volunteers in mission with the Presbyterian Church. And probably 25 years ago, at this point, it's probably that long ago, Dad had retired and Mom took time off of work and they were volunteers in mission in Alaska. And when they went to the commissioning service for the volunteers in mission that year, these were the crosses that were given to them as they departed on their year-long mission trip. I had never seen these before, but when we closed up our family home a year ago in October, well, actually, more than a year ago, it was October, 2 years ago, this October, Mom gave me Dad's cross. So whenever I wear this cross, not only do I remember its ancient symbolism, but I remember that this was the cross that was given to my father as he went to witness and minister as well. It's a connection to him, and it serves to remind me, as it served to remind him, for whom and with whom we do this work, that I do this work. If you'll notice, the word commission is a compound word, co-mission. Co-mission. It tells me that any mission, including the great one with a capital G, is a co-mission. It's not just a sending, it is a going with. It is a witness, a mission, and a ministry with. It is about withness. With others, to be sure, because none of us do any of this alone. But it's the promise of God in Christ that when we are sent, when we get the green light to go, it doesn't mean that we're kicked out, that we're on our own. It means that I'm right there alongside you, doing it with you. I am with you always. Next week, we'll hear about another final scene of Jesus in another gospel where he ascends out of the sight of the disciples and those gathered. Today's scene is kind of a yin to the yang of next week, because this week we are promised a presence, and next week will be experienced an absence. But if that presence seems invisible or withdrawn, it becomes our opportunity, our invitation, our commission, given into our hands, living within us now. And it has the promise that we need, the only promise that we need, that I am with you always.